Okay, all right. So I'm audible, right? So Hare Krishna to all the devotees of South London, Germany, and the other places who have joined today. And I'm very happy to be among all of you on your Saturday Sangha. So thank you very much for inviting me. And I've been asked to speak on prayers of Brahma. Thank you so much for selecting a very beautiful topic, keeping in mind the Purushottam month. And we are all chanting Brahma Stuti every day. And if we get into the, we have a discussion today over the meaning, then we'll be able to do it with the proper bhava from tomorrow. So thank you so much. So without ado, we just start and jump into the topic. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naranchaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayo Mudiraye Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttama Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My humble obeisances to all the assembled devotees. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhuvevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Apne apne gurudev ki jai. So we'll be discussing from Canto 10, Chapter 14, the prayers of Brahma. So let's see how much we can cover in an hour, because there are around 40 prayers. Shri Shri Radha Damodar Bhagwan ki jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Lakshmi Narasimha Dev Bhagwan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So text 1, Shri Brahmo Uvacha. Naumidyate brihavapushita didambaraya Gunjavatam shaparipichala sanmukhaya Vanyashraje kavalavetra vishana venu Lakshma shriye mridupade pashupankajaya. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of the king of the cowherds, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant like a lightning, and the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head. Wearing garlands of various forest flowers and leaves, and equipped with a herding stick, a buffalo horn and a flute, you stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand. In the previous chapter, Brahma, the creator of the universe, tried to bewilder the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, by stealing his cowherd boyfriends and calves. But by a slight exhibition of Krishna's own mystic potency, Brahma himself was completely bewildered. And now, with great humility and devotion, he offers his humble obeisances and prayers unto the Lord. The word kavala in the verse refers to a morsel of rice mixed with yogurt that Krishna held in his left hand. According to Sanatan Goswami, the Lord held a cowherding stick and a buffalo horn pressed under his left arm, and his flute was placed under his belt. Beautiful young Krishna, decorated with multicolored forest minerals, exhibited appearances far greater than those of Vaikuntha. Although Brahma had seen innumerable four-armed forms of the Lord, he now surrendered unto the lotus feet of the two-armed form of Krishna, who appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Brahma offered his prayers to that form. So here we see in the purport, a short summary is given of what exactly happened. So before jumping to the prayers, we need to speak about the background, how this sloka comes here. So we all know this famous pastime of how Lord Krishna kills Aghasur, the black fat serpent. And when Krishna kills Aghasur, so what the demigods see up there is that Aghasur's soul gets Swarupya Moksha, right? He goes up in the spiritual world and he gets Swarupya Moksha. So all the demigods are surprised, because how do you get Swarupya Moksha? Swarupya Moksha is that you look like the Lord. So that is something surprising, because who can look like the, who can get that moksha of looking like the Lord unless and until you are a devotee? If you have done devotional service, then you will get that kind of a moksha. But Aghasur was not a devotee. What he was doing, he was trying to kill Krishna, but still he got Swarupya Moksha. So they were all bewildered. So of course the Vaishnava Acharyas comment that Krishna, Putana tried to kill Krishna, still Krishna, Putana got a form of nurse. And what did Aghasur do? He never tried to help Krishna anyway. But what he did was, when he was out there with his open mouth, he was continuously looking at Krishna. Okay. And when the cowherd boys entered, he didn't close his mouth, okay, I got my food for the day, I'm happy. He patiently waited for Krishna to enter. And all the while that Krishna was, you know, walking to him, he was continuously looking at Krishna. So the Vaishnava Acharyas say that because Krishna is like Chintamani stone, even if somebody looks at Krishna, talks about Krishna, thinks about Krishna, hears about Krishna, takes Krishna prasad, is angry on Krishna, is envious of Krishna, like Sishupal, they all get moksha. So kind Krishna is. So then when Aghasur gets moksha, so then all these demigods are like, they're like the jaws open. How can that happen? And some of them are dancing and making all kinds of noise. So when they were making this all kinds of noise, then Brahma, who is like very busy in his Satyalok with puja, he's like, what's this noise? You know, something like we do in the material world. Kahan se awaaz aa raha hai? What's happening? So he just come and saw in his swan vehicle, what is happening? And then he sees, you know, all these people are making noise and how Krishna has delivered Aghasur. So he gets a little curious and he's just observing Krishna that, you know, because when this Leela happened, Krishna is like just a five-year-old, small, sweet-looking boy. And then the whole noise that the devatas are making is because they are bewildered, you know, because in no other leela does Krishna show so much compassion, right? I mean, he's like unlimitedly giving his mercy, even if somebody want to kill him or do what. So that is something really special. Like you see in the that is why you see Bhakti Vinod Thakur in his very famous bhajan Gopinath, you know, he says Gopinath, he says, you know, Ami ki doshera doshi asura sakala pailo charana vinoda thakilo bosi. Oh my God, the asuras, everybody got delivered, and Vinod, I mean Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying, and I am sitting here, asura sakala, you know, they all got your charan. So what did I do so much sins that I'm not able to get your lotus feet? So they are all bewildered. And now Brahma gets more curious. And now what's going on? While Brahma is very scrutinizingly looking at Krishna, Krishna starts a potluck party. Because now the demon is, you know, what happens when, you know, in the material world, when people go for a movie, what do you do in the interval of the movie? Popcorn. You have a popcorn. So yeah. So now the demon is killed. So they're just waiting for a party. So now it's a potluck party. So everybody just opens and they are just opening their boxes and they are eating. Of course, it's a very beautiful and a detailed leela, which I don't want to go in today because we are scheduled to speak about Brahma's prayer. But the whole thing is so beautiful looking because they are on the bank of Yamuna. And all have opened up their boxes and everybody is taking out what their mothers have cooked. And they're trying to put it inside Krishna's mouth. And then everybody's like, Krishna, can you taste this? Can you taste it? And Krishna is like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when they put it in Krishna's mouth, and Krishna is like, wow, it's very nice. Can you give me a second? And then they look angrily at Krishna and say, it's for everybody's distribution. You can't have two pieces, only one. So Supreme Personality of God, it is like, one more, and they're like, no, it's for, you know, so it's just going on, and everybody's like, and then there's a bumblebee comes there and is disturbing Madhu Mangal, you know, Madhu Mangal is the fat Brahmana. So Krishna is telling the bumblebee, don't disturb Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal is a Brahman, and if you disturb a Brahman, then you'll get offenses. And everybody's laughing. And then while this is going on, you know, what Krishna is doing, because Madhu Mangal is fat and he wants to eat a lot. So what Krishna is doing, and he's just diverting everybody's attention here and there. So he's saying, hey, look at that monkey on the tree. Looks like he has become a yogi. See how he's sitting in meditation. Because you see, usually the monkeys in Vrindavan are very naughty. Imagine you're having a potluck party in during the Govardhan Parikrama. Will the monkeys look at you or wait for you to give? They will jump on you. So look, he become a yogi. See how sincerely he's sitting. So everybody's looking up there. Where is that Krishna? Just there on that branch. And everybody's looking there. And what Krishna is doing, he's just messing up. He's taking somebody's rasgulla from here, there, and then putting in Madhu Mangal's plate. And then afterwards, when they come back to the plate, Madhu Mangal is like, who put this in my plate? So they say, Krishna put it. And then Madhu Mangal is making all tantrums. Hey, you are a Vaishya. You know, they're cowherd community, and I'm a Brahman. I'm not supposed to take your jutta, your remnants. You are supposed to take my remnants. Oh, Brashta, you have spoiled my caste. What will my community people tell about me? Now I'm doomed. I don't want to eat with you. I'm just going away. I'll have my food separately. So he just takes his box and walks away. Now, the whole point is actually why Madhu Mangal is doing all the tantrum is because the other day Krishna asked him that everybody is getting something for me. Why don't you get something for me? But Madhu Mangal is a very poor Brahmana. So when he said that to his mother, that Krishna is asking me that what I'm going to get for him, what should I take for him? And his mother is like, we have nothing. So his mother goes to 4 or 5 houses, takes 2 spoons of curd each from everybody, makes a buttermilk, and gives it to Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal's mother says that when Krishna asks you, you just take it, but don't give it to him because it's been taken from 4 or 5 houses and it may not be healthy for Krishna. But just show him for the heck of it that you did bring something. So now Madhu Mangal was thinking that if Krishna sees I brought something, definitely he's going to take away. We see in the case of Sudama also how Krishna took it away. So Madhu Mangal purposely, he makes an issue, and then he takes his box and goes behind a tree. And there he's trying to drink all alone. But Krishna is very intelligent. If somebody brings something for Krishna with love and affection, he wants to take it. So he goes behind, you know, and then he's looking from far that Madhu Mangal is drinking. And then Krishna starts running that, I want that. What are you drinking? And Madhu Mangal is like, Krishna is coming closer. So he drinks at the maximum speed possible. You know, it's a liquid, right? You need a time to gulp it down. So now what he did, even before Krishna could reach him, he just gulped the whole liquid down. And then when Krishna snatched the box, you know, he sees it's empty. But now when you drink something, it's very difficult to gulp it at a time. You know, you will just blow up your jaw, you know, like this. So the buttermilk is still inside his mouth. And at that time, Krishna goes and he just, you know, pats, claps on Madhu Mangal's cheeks, and the whole buttermilk comes out. And when the buttermilk comes out, Krishna starts drinking it. And when Brahma sees that, he's like, ouch, I don't think he's God. I don't think so. Because we do so much purificatory process just to offer a little bhoga to Krishna, to Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha. And he's just taking a, you know, somebody's something which comes out. Even in the material world, nobody will do it. So then Brahma decides, no, maybe I should put him to a test. He decides that I'm going to put Krishna to a test. Let me see if he's actually God. So why I mentioned this incident? Because this incident sparked the whole Brahma Vimohan Leela, because Krishna drank that, you know. See, for Krishna and for the cowherd boys, the whole atmosphere in Vrindavan is such that for them, Krishna is not God. Krishna is there. Friend, you know, they are very, very close to Krishna. They talk to Krishna, they fight with Krishna, they snatch things from Krishna. You see, Bhakti Vinod Thakur in his Bhaja Bhakta Vasala Bhogarti Kirtan, you know, he sings one very beautiful line. He says, chal bal laddu khai Shri Madhu Mangala. Chale bale, by chal, by trick, or by bal, by force, Madhu Mangal snatches the laddu from Krishna. Because this leela, the potluck party which happened that day in the forest, that happens every day in Nanda Bhavan. And that happens every day in the Goloka Vrindavan, up there in Nanda Bhavan. They all sit together, they all have food, and just like Krishna is distracting them, Madhumangal also distracts Krishna. He says, look, Balaram is having something in his hair. Look what ornament he has worn. So when Krishna looks there, Madhumangal just snatches the laddu and eats. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur, while he's composing this bhajan, he's actually seeing the leela happening. So he's saying, you know, Chale bale laddu khai Shri Madhus Mangalam. Chale and Bale, Madhumangal is taking the laddu. And then after that, what he does, he says, Bagala bajaye ar bole hari bola. Bagala bajaye means, you know, like when we were in the school, I remember, when you want to tease somebody, you know, you just go like this, right? But in Vraja, when they want to tease, they just beat the armpits, you know. It's a typical way of making fun of the friends, you know. So he said, bagala bajaye, and they hari bol. And he's just saying, hari bol, look, I got your laddu. So this is what is happening. And now Brahma is like, I have to test him. So he decides, let me see what I can do. So now all of them are in this atmosphere. They're all eating and happy. Now what Brahma does is he creates illusion. So now they were very little children. So they were not bringing cows for grazing. They were bringing calves for grazing. So these calves, they don't just run away inside the forest. Wherever the children are playing, you know, they just leave them and they just graze little sweet grass, and that's about it. So now they were all busy with the picnic and the cows are just eating some grass. Now what Brahma did is he created an illusion. So the calves felt that the grass here is not so green. Maybe that grass is more sweeter and greener. So they went a little ahead. And then Brahma created another illusion. And they went a little ahead and a little ahead in search of the grass. And as they were going ahead, then what Brahma did is just took them away. And now here the picnic party is going on. And after some time, one of the Gopa Balak says, hey, look, where are our calves? The calves are gone. So then immediately they are, you know, this is like, oh, so what to do? Because they're all eating, right? They're in the middle of the, so let's go and get the calves. Because you see, they're all very responsible children. If the calves are lost, you know, they'll get good, you know, scolding from the parents. So they are like, let's go and search. And then Krishna is immediately like, that's all right. Sit down. I'll go and get. Now, just see the beautiful relation that the Vrajavasis have with Krishna. They allow Krishna to serve them. They didn't tell Krishna that, no, why will you go? Sit down, we will go. They said, yeah, go and find out where the cows are. And Krishna is like, you people eat, I will go and find out. Now, just try to imagine the scene. You are at home in the dining table, you're all having your prasadam and the doorbell rings. Who gets up? The youngest one, right? I don't think that all the young children eat and the elder father goes and opens. They don't, right? The respected person is the one who will sit and the youngest. But here Krishna says, I will go. And they're like, yeah, go. They don't tell Krishna, how can you go? You sit, we'll serve you. Just imagine the beauty of their relationship with Krishna is so sweet, right? In fact, they think that they have right over Krishna. Krishna belongs to them. In fact, they are proud that whatever Krishna is today, his beauty or his intelligence is because of them. You know, in the Gujarati language, there is one very beautiful bhajan. The gopis, they tell Krishna, whenever he acts a little smart or just, you know, verbally argues with them, then the gopis say, look, Krishna, don't act too smart. You know, today, who raised you up? Tell me. Like, now you are, you know, this, all because of the butter you stole from my house and ate, you know, all this strength you have. So there's very beautiful bhajan the Gujaratis, they sing, you know, it says that Nandana kuvarata me nakaro badhai mota thaya maru makhana khai. Nandana kuvarata me bahu rangarasiya amare karana lala vrajamae vasiya. Don't act too smart. Mota thaya maru makhan khai. I fed you the butter because of which you have grown up. So don't you argue with me. This is the relation they have with Krishna. So So Krishna says, all right, I will go and fetch the calves. And, you know, even according to the Ayurvedic science, you're not supposed to get up when you are eating. So he says, all of you eat, I'll just go and get. Of course, the Vaishnava Acharyas give very good commentary that what are the lessons that we can take from this particular pastime is that how the calves, when they leave the association of Krishna and his devotees in search of the green grass, they are doomed, right? What happened? Brahma just kidnapped them, right? So what happens to us also? Sometimes for pursuing our material goals, we leave the association of devotees, right? And then what happens? We are doomed. We are doomed. And Maya just catches us. So this is a commentary given by Harisauri Prabhu. So he said, this is a very good lesson we can take from this pastime. Whereas there are other Vaishnava Acharyas who say that the other important lesson that we can learn is, if we are focused on Krishna and we want to serve Krishna and we are associating with Krishna's name and form, yeah, sometimes our senses do go astray here and there. But because we are surrendered to Krishna, because we want to please Krishna and we are doing devotional service, Krishna will take it upon him personally to go and fetch our senses back, right? Senses means what? In Sanskrit, you say go. Go is senses. So who strayed away? The go strayed away, right? The Gopa Balaks go, the cows, they strayed away. But because their mind was completely on Krishna, Krishna personally went to get the cows back. When our mind is on Krishna, when we are trying to serve Krishna, then Krishna takes it upon himself to get our senses back to him, right? So now Krishna gets up and he, Krishna was also eating. And the beauty is that when they were eating, you see, they're little children. So it's not that they eat with right hand. They eat about with both the hands. With something they're eating, some rasgulla. Then with the left hand, he's mixing some curd rice. So he's eating with both the hands. So now Krishna was eating. So his left hand has the morsel of curd rice, you know. So he's having curd rice in his hand. And in between the finger, there are some fruits stuck. So he was eating like this. And now with the same hand, he's like, you know, sometimes we're just eating something and with the same hand, you'll go and open the door if somebody is coming. So he's just walking there. Now, Krishna is quite chanchal, active and very fast. So he's just going everywhere, but he can't find those calves. So he goes over the hill, comes down, goes deep in the forest, this side, that side, but doesn't find the calves anywhere. So he comes back to inform his friends that I don't find the calves. So when he comes back, he sees the friends are gone. Nobody's there. Just now there was a big picnic and a big luncheon, but there's nobody there. So now he's like, he went to search the calves and what Brahma did, he even kidnapped the cowherd boys. So now the calves are missing and the boys are missing. Then, you know, see, Krishna was genuinely searching. It's not that he was acting. He was actually searching for them. But now when he sees both are gone, then Krishna is like, what is this happening? And then in a minute he understands, because for Krishna, how much time it will take to understand, right? Because he's there everywhere and he's also there inside Brahma, right? So he knows what's the story, what has happened, right? Like sometimes you see in the newspapers, they will say in the news channel, they'll say, to know the inside story, just log on to our channel. We can tell you the inside story, what has happened only, you know. But who can tell the inside story to Krishna? Because Krishna is inside everybody. He's inside Brahma's heart also. So he knows the inside story, what has happened. So he's smiling. Okay, this is my son Brahma. Acha, acha. So he wants to play games with me. All right. So then what happens? Krishna creates, right? I mean, immediately Krishna expands. And as soon as Krishna expands, he expands himself into hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys, all those whom Brahma had kidnapped. And not only the cowherd boys, he expands himself like the calves also, with the same kind of talking style, walking style, appearance, clothes, habits, ornaments, whatever they were wearing, as it is, Krishna makes up. Now here, what is happening? Brahma has taken them all, kidnapped them, and he's put them in Satyaloka. And then he comes back to see what is happening. Now, there is a difference of time between us and Brahma, right? Just like, in a clock, there is a seconds hand, there is a minutes hand, and there is a hour hand, right? So by the time the minute hand moves, the second hand takes circles, right? So now what has happened for Brahma? It is like, that's all. He just dropped and he came. But here what happened in Bhuloka, 1 year passed. 1 year passed. And when Brahma comes back, what he sees? The calves are as usual. Krishna is playing as usual. The cowherd boys are as usual. So Brahma gets confused. I just kept them there. So maybe Krishna just brought them back with his maya or something like that. So he immediately makes a WhatsApp video call to Satyaloka. And he's in the video call. Can I see those Gopabalas and Brahma's secretaries? Like, yes, sir. And the video call is on. And there the cowherd boys are sleeping in Yoga Nidra. And the cows are there. So Brahma is like with his cell phone. He looks here. Cowherd boys are here. And then he looks in his video call. Yeah, the cowherd boys are there in Satyaloka. So what is happening? Now Brahma is completely confused. How can that happen? Because he is the creator, right? So I didn't create them. So who created them? How two copies are possible? So now when Brahma is struggling to understand that, you know, he's like completely, oh, you know what you say in Hindi, chakkar aa gaya. He's like, now he's going to faint, you know, what is happening? And now when Krishna sees that Brahma is not able to take it anymore, you know, it's too much stress on his, you know, on his brain. Then what Krishna does is, he removes the curtain of illusion from Brahma. And then Brahma can see things as it is. He can see that these are not the cowherd boys. These are not the cows. This is Krishna himself. He sees the four-hand form Vishnu. So the cow or the calves and the cowherd boys, they're all four-handed Vishnu forms with Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma. Then he's like, oh, what a mistake I did. I was trying to test the Supreme Lord. It feels very bad. Now what to do? Done is done. So then, you know, immediately what Krishna does is, whatever he had expanded, he again takes them all inside. And again he stands there with the curd rice and the fruits in between his finger. And he's like, where are the boys? Where are the cows? He's standing like this. And Brahma is ashamed. He's just looking down. Oh, what did I do? Jiva Goswami says that Brahma, not only does he cry, he jumps from his swan and he pays four times obeisances to Krishna because he has four heads. So every time the one head is down, the other head is up and he's feeling guilty about it. How can my head even look at Krishna? So the second time and the third time and four times he pays his obeisances to Krishna and he cries, oh, what did I do? Now we all know that when we do Vandanam, to the Lord, Vandanam is not only paying obeisances, Vandanam is also paying obeisances with your mind, with your heart, and with your words, right? When we were doing the Navavida Bhakti series, we spoke about how Prahlad Maharaj talked about Navavida Bhakti, and among one of the Navavida Bhakti is Vandanam. So sometimes people take it very narrowly. Vandanam means maybe just paying obeisances, but it's not only physically paying obeisances, it is also verbally saying prayers. So then what happens? After paying obeisances, Brahma starts the prayers. And this is what we are reading every day, Brahma Stuti. So this is in the 14th chapter of Canto 10. There's around 40 slokas and beautiful. I don't think we can complete all the slokas today. But in general, the prayer goes like this. See, the whole, whenever we pray to the Lord, Vandanam, it has four sections. The first thing we are supposed to do is when we go in front of the Lord, we are supposed to praise the Lord. Oh Lord, you're so kind, you're so wonderful. And about his Aishwarya, about his compassion, you talk about it. And the second thing you do is you criticize yourself. Oh Lord, I forgot you. For so many lifetimes, I'm just going into this cycle. You're so kind to me, but I'm not coming back to you. And then the third thing you do is you ask forgiveness. I'm very sorry for my foolishness. And the fourth thing, which is our favorite thing, is then we ask something from the Lord. Of course, it's supposed to be spiritual. So here also, if you see in this the prayers of Brahma, the 40 slokas, they're exactly like that. In the beginning, Brahma will be like, oh, you are so beautiful, Krishna. Oh, you are so nice. Only the devotees can know you. The yogis who are performing devotional service can know you. The non-devotees, the gnanis who are trying to know you by speculative knowledge, they can never know you. Then he says, I'm foolish. what am I? I'm just a small insect. I'm just a small creature. I'm like this. He just criticizes himself. Then he'll say, oh, Lord, please forgive me. Just like a mother. What happens when a mother has a baby in the womb? The baby in the womb will kick mother. But will the mother kick back? Hey, why are you kicking me? No, the mother is like, that's all right. She's so happy when the baby is moving. She says, I'm just like your baby inside the womb because this whole creation is your womb, my Lord. So please forgive me. And after that, Brahma will ask something. He'll say, my Lord, I want to be in Vrindavan. These Vrajavasis, they're so glorious. They're taking your association. They're eating with you. They're playing with you. They're feeding you milk. Even I want to be part of that. Oh, I don't want to be part of that. I want to serve them. Those who are serving you with so much love and their service and love is giving you so much satisfaction. I also want to serve you, my Lord. And that is why you see in Vrindavan, when you go to Nandagram, that hill which we climb, that is Brahma. Brahma is in Vrindavan in a form of a hill because he wanted to see the childhood pastimes of Krishna and he wanted that the Vrajavasis should put their feet on his head and he wanted to take the dust, right? We see also Uddhav. Uddhav, he went to give big lecture to the gopis. But when he came back after a few months, he said, oh, I want to be a Lata in Vrindavan and the Gulma Lata and the gopis should trample me with their feet. And so same thing happened with Brahma. He wanted to test Krishna. Let me see whether he is God or not. He could not test Krishna, but Krishna gave him taste of Krishna. He became Krishna conscious. He became a devotee, right? So he progressed from testing Krishna to tasting Krishna. He became a devotee. He wanted to serve Krishna. So that is what this whole Brahma's prayer is all about. So what we'll do is, whatever little time we have, we just go quick. And we may not be able to chant all the prayers, but in essence, we'll just see the meaning so that when we chant it tomorrow morning, we can do it with lots of emotion because we understand what Brahma is saying. So in the first sloka, we see, this is the favorite one where Brahma is explaining about the beauty of the Lord. He's buttering the Lord, Amul butter delicious, because now Krishna is angry. So, oh, you are so beautiful, Krishna, you are so nice. He says, and he says, Krishna, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Saying, Krishna, your body is so beautiful, it's like a newly formed cloud, you know, the cloud which is just full of water and is about to rain. That is the color of your body. And we see that so many Vaishnava acharyas, when they see, if you see the explanation of Krishna's beauty, whether in Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita or any other scriptures, there are certain things which are common, like his vanamala, like the color of his skin, the peacock feather, the pitambar. Yeah, these are the common this. You see in Jaidev Goswami, in his Jaidev Ashtapati's Gita Govind, in the Mangala Charan, he also explains the beauty of the Lord, and he gives the same comparison that your beauty is like a dark blue new cloud. So he says, Abhinava Jaladhara Sundarahe Dhritamandarahe Shri Mukha Chandra Chakora Jaya Jaya Deva Hare Deva Hare. So he says, Abhinava Jaladhara Sundarahe. Abhinava, Nava means new. Jaladhara means the cloud which is carrying the Jala. Oh Krishna, your color is like that. Sundarahe, so beautiful you are. And then it says Dhrita Mandarahe, and here it says Shri Mukha. Shri Mukha means Radharani. And what does Radharani do? She keeps looking at your Shri, at your beautiful face like a chakora bird. So here Brahma is explaining about Krishna's beauty. Oh Lord, you're so, because it's not that, see, he's actually amazed looking at Krishna. You can imagine somebody seeing face to face the Supreme Personality of God at a 5-year-old sweet looking boy with the curd rice in hand. It's just coming out. And then he says, your garment is brilliant like lighting and you are wearing gunja earrings. Now some Vaishnava acharyas say that purposely he's explaining about Gunja earrings because maybe Krishna is making a very innocent face and asking, are you paying obeisances to me or those Vishnu Rupas which you just saw, na, four-handed? Because, see, for Brahma to understand Vishnu, it is very easy because Vishnu is his immediate boss, right? Satyaloka and then Vaikuntha, and they have regular transactions. So he regularly meets the boss, so he has no confusion. But Krishna, he doesn't meet regularly, so he doesn't know. So that is why Krishna is asking, like, paying obeisances to me or those Vishnu Rupas which you just saw? So Brahma is clarifying, no, to you only. That, you know, that Gunja earrings that you are wearing, that Vana Mala that you are wearing. So Krishna is like, okay, me, achcha. Because Vishnu doesn't wear Gunja Malas. Only Krishna wears, yeah? We never see, what is Gunja Mala? Gunja is basically the naturally grown beads, you know, in the forest. You can find them only in the forest. So Vishnu, he wears, you see our Balaji, all diamonds, and he doesn't wear Gunja Mala and all. So this is only Krishna wears this Gunja Mala. So all the Krishna Bhaktas, that's why they talk about Gunja Mala. You know, I remember this bhajan by Vallabhacharya, where he talks about Gunja Mala, you know. He says, Gunja Madhura Mala Madhura Yamuna Madhura Shalilam Madhura Vichi Madhuram Kamalam Madhuram Madhura Adipate Akhilam Madhuram Madhura Adipate Akhilam Madhuram. So Vallabhacharya is saying, Gunja Madhura, oh, your Gunja Mala is so madhur. Yamuna water is so madhur. The waves in Yamuna is so madhur. The lotus flowers are so madhur. Your earrings, your mala, everything is sweet of the emperor of sweetness. Right? Madhuradhipate, you are the emperor of sweetness, and everything about you, connected to you, is sweet. Right? So here is, of course, Krishna's earrings are famous. I think every song, every Vaishnava devotee, Acharya will talk about it. Okay, tell me, what's the upcoming month? Damodar month. And we do the Damodar Ashtakam. And the first sloka, what it says? Namam Ishwaram Sachidananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam. Lasat Kundala. They are also talking about Krishna's Kundal. So everybody talks about Krishna's Kundal, the way they move. It's very beautiful. He's talking about the Kundal. Then he says, wearing the garland of forest flowers and leaves. And then on one hand, Krishna has the herding stick, a buffalo horn, and a flute. And then in the last line, he says, you stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand. So now he's just talking about how stylish Krishna is. So he has a style for everything, right? You see the way he'll put his crown, and even his face, he won't keep it straight. He, a little bit this side, eyes will be a little bit that, you know, like a different style. Even looking also, he won't look straight. One looking at you, but actually he'll be looking at somebody else. The smile also will be perfect. Not very big smile, but not very small, just perfect. So everything about Krishna is so stylish. And if he wanted, he could have just put the curd rice down there and wash his hand. But that style, you know, he's just holding it with a style. And, you know, oh, where it's all, see the natak all, oh, where are the cows? So you see, you know, in the Gujarati language, there is one very beautiful bhajan. It's one of my favorite bhajan. I think it's by Narsimha Mehta. So where the gopis, you know, they will be saying, I'll just sing it. I don't know if it says, "Hun to vari re giridhar lal tamara latkane balihari re sundar sham tamara latkare." Hun to vari re giridhar lal tamara latkare तुवारी रे नंद कुमार तमारा लटकाने. सी इफ यू अंडरस्टैंड द लैंग्वेज यू लाइक द भजन. इट्स वेरी लॉन्ग वेर द गोपीज आर सेइंग बेसिकली टू पुट इट इन इंग्लिश दे आर सेइंग वी आर स्टक बाय योर लुक्स. यू नो वारी रे इज लाइक ओह वी आर लव स्टक. The way Krishna talks and walks and his eyes and his expression and his voice and his... Oh, everything about his view is so sweet. I'm love struck. I can't do anything anymore. That's what the gopis are saying. Just want to look at you. That's all. You're so beautiful, Krishna. And lataka means his expressions are extraordinary. The way he will, you know, the way he looks and talks and moves is so beautiful. You just want to look at him like that. So like that, you know, the Brahma is talking about Krishna's style, the way he's standing there. Now, a little serious thing starts, you know. So Krishna is like, Brahma is like telling the stuti. I mean, he's starting the prayer and Krishna is like very innocently looking. So you're talking to me? Me, okay, acha, gunja mala. Oh yeah, I have gunja mala. Yeah, you're talking to me. And then Brahma starts, you know, in the second sloka, he says, oh Lord, mad anugrahasya, I forgot, but actually you came for me. So now Brahma is reminding himself and speaking aloud that I am the one who actually came to you crying for help, right? That Kamsa is giving problem to all the demigod, so you please come, you know, please come descend and protect your devotees. So I'm the one who prayed. I'm the one who lead the devatas, right? Who did the garbhastuti when Krishna was in the stomach of Devaki. So I'm the one who prayed for your help and mad anugrahasya. Just you are showing your affection by coming for me. You came and for your devotees you came, my Lord. But then he says, I cannot understand your personal form. So he's saying that, you know, the way you are looking so simple, I cannot understand that you are God. Now imagine, Brahma is the most intelligent person. He is the creator. He created all of us. And if he can't understand Krishna, how can we understand Krishna? Brahma is on the transcendental platform. We are all in the material platform. We are trying to understand Krishna. But one who is in the transcendental platform, yeah, who is the creator, he is not able to understand Krishna. So here he says, I cannot understand your personal form, right? That is why, you see, people ask all sorts of questions. Why did Krishna not marry Radha? Why Radha married Abhimanyu? Why did he do Ras Leela? Why he asked Yudhishthira to speak lie? Oh, so many things they ask. But is it when Brahma can't understand Krishna, how can we understand Krishna? To understand the Leela of Krishna, we need to first understand who is Krishna. And that we still don't have a complete knowledge about who is Krishna. So how can we understand his Leelas? Right? So we have to be very careful. Not making speculations, right? So it's very difficult to understand Krishna. It's very, very complex. But who can understand Krishna? That also will come, the sloka. So here it's a very, very beautiful purport where this is by disciples of Prabhupada. One beauty of this chapter is that Prabhupada did the translation and purport only up to chapter 13. And then Prabhupada left this world. So the rest of the translation and purport was done by his disciples. So here they say, mention the sloka from Brahma Samhita, that it's very difficult to understand Krishna. And then they say a sloka, Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittamanti, that every limb of Krishna is as powerful as any other limb. That means Krishna can even eat with his eyes. Krishna can do anything with any limbs. Krishna is very, very powerful. And very, very difficult for us to understand Krishna. But then what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if somebody can understand me, janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mamiti soshana. But if you can understand Krishna, then you don't have to come back to this world again. So here, this is what they talk about. Then in the text 3, Brahma says, well, you know, Krishna is still making innocent face. You know, what is all this obeisances you are paying to me? I'm just a 5-year-old boy. You're like my grandfather. So Brahma is like, please don't talk anything like that anymore. I'm already, you know, in illusion. Don't say like that. And then Brahma says, already I, with this jnana, you know, because I thought I have a lot of knowledge, I made a fool of myself, you know, not anymore. So that's why Brahma mentions here. He says that, only those, you know, who dedicate their life on hearing about Krishna, narrations about Krishna, which are vibrated by you personally, that means Bhagavad Gita, and by your pure devotees, that means Bhagavatam. When you hear about Krishna, Krishna's devotees, you hear those narrations, only those people can conquer you. Only they can understand you. If somebody is trying to understand you by jnana, then that doesn't work. So there is a lot of conversation happening in between the conversation, you know, because there is a conversation with the eyes, you see. Like in the beginning when he praises Krishna that you are like a cloud which is, you know, fill up with water. The Vaishnava Acharya's comment that Brahma is actually trying to tell Krishna that because of doing too much of, you know, tapasya and austerities and dry jnanam, I have become very dry. But you are full of compassion, you know, just like the clouds are full of water, you are full of compassion, so you can forgive me. So like that, there are lots of conversations between the conversation. So here he is saying, not with jnana, not with speculative knowledge, my lord, only those who hear about you. And then he says, with their body, words and mind, they offer all respects. So they're hearing with what? In respectful attitude, they're hearing about your narrations, only they can conquer you. Then in the text 4, Brahma says that devotional service is the best path for self-realization. So suppose if Krishna is asking, "Acha, so who can know me?" Just now we said that with speculative knowledge you can't know me, then who can know? Then he said that devotional service unto you is the best path for self-realization. And if someone gives up that path and he tries to go into the jnana marga, the speculative knowledge, then what will happen? They will simply undergo a troublesome process. In Bhagavad Gita, 12th chapter, what does Krishna say? Kleshodhikatarastesham avyakta sakatachetasam avyakta hi gatir dukkham dehavadbhi mavapyate. So if somebody is trying to go to that mark, klesho, he will always be in trouble. With bhakti, one can easily realize, understand Krishna, right? I remember this very funny story Prabhupada says in many places about a son-in-law who wanted to go to his father-in-law. So the best way was to ask somebody address and go. But he thought, no, why should I ask address? I will search my way and go there. So what he does is, you know, while he's trying to go to his father-in-law's house, you know, on the way he sees some cows are grazing. So he asks, whose cows are they? So he says, these are your father-in-law's cows. So he thinks, why to ask anybody address and tell them that I don't know the address? I will wait up to evening. In the evening, these cows after grazing will go back to my father-in-law, to the cow shed. I simply hold the tail and go back. So as soon as it was, you know, it was dawn, evening, he just hold the tail of the cow. Now what happens when you hold the tail of the cow? Oh, they will get upset. They'll just run here and there. So now he was holding the tail and the cow dragged him all the way to the father-in-law's house. Now when he finally reached the village, the people out there thought that maybe he's a cattle thief trying to steal the cow. So they all bet him up nicely. And by the time the father-in-law came out and like, hey, don't be, that's my son-in-law. So now what did he do? Why do we have to take that way of catching the cow's tail and trying to reach? He could have simply asked the address or asked his father-in-law to escort him. He could have nicely go in a chariot happily. So this is the difference between the jnanis and the bhaktis. Bhakta marga, the bhaktas. The bhaktas, they go happily. What happened to Dhruva Maharaj? Nice plane came from Vaikuntha. He put the feet on the death and he climbed happily. And the jnanis, they're just like catching the tail of the cow and they're dragged and dragged and dragged and don't know what is the destination, right? In fact, the devotees are happily going back to Godhead, right? Okay, so then text number 5, Brahma is saying that, oh my lord, the yogis can achieve you. How they achieve you? Yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi, dadasi, yad. Because they're offering all their endeavors to you. And then Brahma says that through such devotional service perfected by the process of hearing and chanting. This is such an important sloka for all of us devotees, because this is what we are trying to do. This is what Prabhupada trained us to do. So what Prabhupada said, when somebody asked Prabhupada to define ISKCON, he said ISKCON is chant Hare Krishna, preach Hare Krishna. That's it. We hear and we talk about Krishna. So here that's what Brahma is asking to do. He said those who hear and chant, they can understand you. So very, very, very nice process. Very simple process. But the only thing that is causing disturbance to us in this process is our smartphone. Right? I was just thinking that maybe in the Purushottam month sadhana, we should also have an option saying fast from smartphone. Right? If they do that fasting, then lots of time we'll get for our sadhana. Okay, so coming to text 6, here it says, non-devotees cannot realize you in your full personal feature. So it says the non-devotees have to work very hard if they want to realize Krishna in the Paramatma. Paramatma Krishna is there in everybody's heart. But even if you want to see that Paramatma in the heart, then they have to give up a lot of material distinctions. And only then they can see Krishna. Maybe, your impersonal feature will manifest to them in this way. For that, they have to work really hard. It's very difficult to see Krishna, even if they want to see in that form, in the Paramatma form. And then in text 7, Brahma says, see, with buddhi, you can't understand Krishna. With bhakti, yeah, it's possible. So he tells about how the scientists may be able to count all the atoms. Maybe one day they can count all the molecules, maybe every particle of snow, but they cannot count the qualities possessed by Krishna. So he says, with buddhi, not possible. With bhakti, you can understand Krishna. Then coming to the text 8, which is very, very important text for the devotees. I'll sing this, talk about it for 10 minutes, and then we'll end the class today. Tatte nu kampa susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvagvapubhir vidhadhan namaste jiveti yo mukti pade sadai bhak. So here Brahma is saying that devotees, tattenu kampa, what we have to do to get the mercy of the Lord, we have to be patient, we have to tolerate. Tattenu kampa susamikshamano, whatever situations we face in our life, we have to tolerate them. Tolerate with what attitude in the mind? Second line, bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam, thinking that, oh, whatever is happening with me is because of my previous janma karmas, because of my previous life karmas. I'm not put into trouble because of you, because of my previous life karmas, right? See, sometimes when you are eating, you bite your tongue. So do you blame others? No, it's you did it, right? This is what happened. Today, whatever we are getting, suffering, or it's all because of our previous karma. So one has to be patient and one should not be complaining. Why is this happening? Because it's our karma. And while somebody is tolerating like this patiently without complaining, what is he supposed to do next? Is he supposed to sit idly? Okay, I will wait for Lord's. No, no. At that time, what he has to do? Hridvag vapu bhir. With body, with mind, with words, pray to Krishna. Pray to Krishna. So three things a devotee does. He's patient, he doesn't complain, he tolerates, he doesn't complain. He thinks this is my previous life karma. I'll wait for the Lord to show compassion on me. And while he's waiting, he doesn't waste time. He's offering obeisances to Krishna. He's praying to Krishna with his mind, body and words. And if somebody does that, then what Brahma says in the last line, jiveti yo mukti pade sadai bhak. If somebody waits like this patiently, then what happens? He gets inheritance. Dai bhag is a rule, like the laws of Manu. When the father dies, what happens? When the father dies, the property goes to son. Does the son need to file a court case for that? Does he need to go anywhere? Nothing he needs to do. He just needs to be alive. If the son is alive, the father dies, he'll get it. So that's what Brahma is saying. That if somebody is like this, a devotee, tolerating, not complaining, waiting patiently for Lord's compassion, offering obeisances, praying to the Lord, then at the end of the life, he'll go back to Krishna. Nothing he needs to do, just needs to stay alive. I thought that's such a beautiful sloka. Very, very important. In Bhagavad Gita also, you see, so many places Krishna says that. Matra sparshas su konteya, 2.14, right? Says one has to tolerate heat, cold, everything, man, apman. You see in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita also. So, sama darsha, the devotee has to be sama in all situations. So, one who is like that, you know, then Krishna becomes very happy and he shows his mercy on them. See, Krishna is not a cruel father. Whatever he does with us is for our benefit. See, sometimes you see a father, he'll bring a nice, thanda, cool, fruity, nice mango juice for the child. Very nice, good father. Sometimes the same father will give bitter medicine, some paracetamol or something which is very bitter. So when he gives a bitter medicine, do you say, father is so cruel? No. When he gives a sweet juice also, he's well-wisher. When he gives a bitter juice also, he's a well-wisher. That's about it. When Krishna, when the situation is very sweet to us, that is also Krishna's mercy. And when situation is not good, that is also Krishna's mercy. Because he just wants to, see, sometimes apparently what externally looks very bad situation may not be bad situation. It may be something good for us, you understand? Maybe Krishna is trying to teach us something, you know. So just because he's a father, he's our well-wishing father. So it's a very, very important sloka. That, see, once we understand the law of karma, when we remember this sloka all the time in our mind, we'll stop blaming others for anything that happens in our life, right? And we'll become more tolerant, right? And that will make Krishna very happy. Otherwise, we make so many offenses because we're always looking for some external reason for our problem. You are the reason for my problem. You are the reason for my problem. I remember one nice, funny story of how, you know, this Akbar, he once got up from his sleep. And in the early morning, standing in the balcony, so while he was standing there, his leg slipped and he got hurt on his chin. So because he's a king, na, immediately everybody had a meeting. Oh, Akbar got hurt in the chin, hurt in the chin. So some fools, you know, they said, why did he get hurt? Let us make an investigation. So they asked him all questions. My lord, what happened when you got up? Which leg you have put in the first? Where in the balcony you were standing? Did you see anybody there in the balcony, from the balcony? Akbar said, yeah, the washerman was washing clothes. I looked at him. Okay, looks like the washerman's face is very inauspicious. That is why you got hurt. Better to hang him. Because just see, you saw the washerman's face, you got hurt on your chin. If that washerman is allowed to live, anybody who sees his face, everything will happen inauspicious in their life. Better to kill him. So immediately they said, yeah, get the washerman, ask him to, you know, he has to be hanged. Now when the washerman came to know that, he ran to Birbal, you know, help me, they want to hang me. I didn't do anything, I was just washing clothes. So Birbal said, all right, give me a day, I'll just do something. So then Birbal goes to Akbar and he asks, my lord, I heard you got hurt. Yeah, Birbal, I got hurt. So can I know what exactly how it happened? So Akbar is like, everybody's asking me same question again. You are asking, no, I just want to know what happened. No, I was standing like this, then I saw the washerman. Then Birbal says, oh no, my lord, I'm just contemplating how inauspicious that washerman's face is. The moment you looked at his face, you got hurt in the chin. But I'm just thinking that you looked at his face and you got hurt in the chin, but he looked at your face and he got death sentence. So whose face is more inauspicious? That is what I'm wondering, he said, you know, because you just got hurt, but he's just going to lose his life. And then Akbar understood and he said, okay, stop the hanging. No, you know, it's nothing. Now, why did I say this example is that this is how our life is. We just always looking at because of this person, because of that person, because of this person, I'm suffering. But when we hear this sloka, then we understand, no, it's because of our previous karma that we are suffering. And if we can tolerate without complaining and we pay obeisances to the Lord and sincerely pray, then we will become the recipients of Lord's mercy. course, this is a very, very important sloka. There's a big discussion about this sloka between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. How Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, instead of using the word mukti pade, he says bhakti pade, because he hates the word mukti so much now, because he became a devotee, right? Because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, you can't change the word of the Shastra, let it be mukti pade. But he says, no, I don't like the word mukti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, because devotees, they don't like mukti, right? Sarupya, samipya, salokya, they don't want that. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, mukti pade here basically means all the muktis are at Krishna's lotus feet. So devotees will get that feet of Krishna if they are patient. So don't worry about that mukti. We are talking about Krishna's lotus feet only, not the dry mukti. Then he becomes happy, but he still prefers to say bhakti pade and not mukti pade. So like that, these are very, very amazing slokas. But I don't want to keep the devotees waiting, because I think we already crossed an hour. So we'll have to end here. We couldn't complete much. But yeah, these are very, very amazing prayers of Lord Brahma. And at the end, after Brahma criticizes himself, he also praises the Vrajavasis, and he tells Krishna, oh, how fortunate these Vrajavasis are that they can have you like their son, like their friend, and eat with you in the same plate. And how fortunate these cows are that that you directly drink milk from their udder. And then in the last, Brahma says that, my Lord, please give me, even if I have to born again, I want to be born here in Vrindavan. And then he just requests Krishna, after asking for forgiveness, that please give me some space in Avraja. So it's very, very beautiful. And then after that, he takes permission from Krishna and says, now I'll leave. And then I don't want to waste your time. You are busy with your cowherd friends and the cows. And then Brahma takes leave. And then Krishna is back again. Starts playing with it, because all of them are back now, the calves and the cowherd boys. So Krishna starts playing with them, and they are, they don't know what happened this whole 1 year, how it passed. For them it was like, they were still eating. And Krishna, after listening to Brahma's prayers, he comes back with the curd rice in his left hand, and the friends are like, oh, you came back already? We have not even eaten one morsel and you already came back. And Krishna says, yes, I'm back. So then they complete their eating, and they take the cows, and in the evening they go back to Vrindavan. So on the way, Krishna is showing them, see the dead body of Aghasur, And then the children go back home, and then they tell their mothers, oh, Krishna killed Aghasur demon, this happened, that happened. And it's life as usual. And then in this chapter end, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that anybody who hears this pastime of Aghasur and the Brahma Vimohan Leela and the prayers of Brahma, their spiritual desire will get fulfilled. Very, very beautiful. It says, any person who hears or chants his pastimes of Lord Murari, performed with his cowherd friends, the killing of Aghasura, the taking of lunch on the forest grass, the Lord's manifestation of transcendental form, the wonderful prayers offered by Lord Brahma, is sure to achieve all his spiritual desires. So we heard everything. We heard Aghasur and the picnic and the Brahma Vimohan Leela. So on this very, very auspicious Pushottam month, we pray to Lord Shri Krishna to make us good devotees, and we can serve Guru and Krishna in the way that pleases them. Right? So thank you so much. I'll end it here. If anybody has any questions, I'll take them. Thank you. Hare Krishna, devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Why? Why should we recite? Actually, every leela has a lot of interesting lessons to learn. So in the from the Brahma Vimohan Leela also we learn so many beautiful lessons that, you know, you see, even Brahma, after coming to that position, he was bewildered, right? So we learn a lot of lessons from this Leela. See, if somebody is a pure devotee, he has a complete knowledge of Krishna, then it's beautiful life. If somebody has no knowledge, then also it's okay. Some devotee will intervene in his life and give him some knowledge and get him connected to Krishna. But if we have little knowledge, but we think that we have all knowledge, and then that little knowledge is mixed with a little ego, then we are doomed to stay in this world, you know, life after life. So in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, we see that, you know, because we are all under illusion and we don't see things as they are, and we make conclusion based on our limited knowledge, and we are not surrendered and ready to accept things as they are, then we will be stuck in this world. So that is why you see, when we read this stutis, prayers, then we remind ourselves again and again. You know, we recharge ourselves. So it's not only Brahma Vimohan Leela. There's so many stutis which one can do during this Purushottam month. But this is more about removing our false ego, you know, that we know everything. So this stuti reminds us, you know, how Brahma got bewildered because Krishna was looking like an ordinary boy. So he just assumed and tried to test Krishna. Sometimes we do that too in our life, you know. If Krishna doesn't do this for me, then, you know, I don't worship him. This is a desire I had. This many rounds I chanted, why didn't Krishna do this, do that? Then I don't think he's that powerful. And then they shift to demigods here and there. So we're also having so much flickering mind, and we're also trying to do so much speculation. So this Leela has a lot of, you know, it will give us, help us do some self-introspection and make us more serious. There may be many other reasons, I'm not sure, but then this is what we do. Purushottam month means we do Brahma Vimohan Leela, we do, like Damodar month, we do Gajendra Moksha Leela. Purushottam month, we do Brahma Vimohan Leela, when we chant the Purushottam Yoga, Bhagavad Gita 15 chapter, because it's called Purushottam Yoga, so we do that. So these have been prescribed by the acharyas, and I'm sure there must be some big reason behind it, but this is what I know. Okay, so your question is that you're doing it mechanically because there are lots of philosophy in Krishna book. But the thing is, if we don't read the philosophy, then we can't understand Krishna also. If you have a problem with the language, and you can take a language which is suitable, which you can understand more clearly if it's in your mother tongue. And if you're unable to understand those points, you can hear from somebody. If somebody has given a class on that particular Leela or chapter, then you can hear. So once you hear and you understand, and then after hearing, if you read again, you will enjoy the reading. But a tattva has to be read. It cannot be only stories. Unless we know philosophy, we can't be stable in Krishna consciousness, because if the whole process is based on our emotions and sentiments, then sometimes we'll be high and sometimes we'll go down. But if we worship Krishna with proper knowledge, then it'll be stable. Like, see this Tattenu Kampa Sloka. See, if somebody doesn't know the law of karma, then what will happen? They'll start blaming Krishna for all the situations in their life. Hey, I'm a devotee, I did Purushottam month, I did this, I did that, but Krishna is not kind to me. But then when they know the law of karma, when they know the tattva, then they know it's not Krishna, it's my previous life karma. So if they have that understanding, then the Krishna consciousness will go smoothly. But if they don't have philosophical knowledge, then sometimes you're very impressed by a particular story, it's very nice, or some speaker said it very nicely, you like it. Then some other time you'll hear some class on yoga, pranayam, it's very nice, I'll do it. Sometimes you'll hear a class about a diet, then you'll start following it. So it'll become like a very sentimental, okay, just a little bit motivated by something, continue for some time, but it won't stay long. But if you regularly hear and try and understand, then it will stay stably. And just try to do it in your mother tongue and whatever is comfortable. And sometimes, like, even I remember when I was trying to read those during my school days, sometimes it was difficult and it used to become boring. And when reading the Bhagavatam also, when the stories used to come, I used to read it. But when these stutis come, then just move the page, because I don't want to read that. It looks like a very monotonous. But when you understand it, you like it. See, like now we read all the eight slokas of this stuti. Now, after understanding the meaning, now when you read it, you like it. But if without understanding the meaning, if you simply recite, you will feel it's boring what Brahma is telling. But when you actually, we spoke today like a Rajdhani Express. We just like taka taka taka. We went. But every sloka is very beautiful. If we can have an hour class on all the 40 slokas, then you'll fall in love with the slokas. You'll say, wow, every word is amazing. It has so many meanings. And so like that, if you are not finding it interesting, just hear from somebody who's spoken about this, and then you'll find it interesting. This is medicine, right? So medicine is like that only. You like it or you don't like it, you take it. And then you start liking it. Once the disease is gone, then if you have, like Prabhupada said, if you have jaundice, then sugar cane is bitter. But then once the jaundice goes, then sugar cane is sweet again. So it's like that. Sorry for the long answer. Very interesting question. If somebody is being abused, do they accept it as their karma? Now, this question can be answered on many levels. Now, it depends upon what kind of abuse it is. You just talk about it, because it's, you see, again, now I said, before I answer this question, I don't know what is your definition of abuse. And now, why am I saying this? Because I have listened to cases where wives come and complain to me, you know, that my husband is abusing this and that. And when I get into the deep into the matter, the abuse was that he didn't allow her to buy the latest sari, or maybe he didn't give her the latest phone, or maybe he didn't allow her to go for some marriage, or maybe there was some kind of a verbal fight about his mother. So when I actually get deep into the matter, sometimes it's not that big. In some cases, it's really big. I mean, like, it's really nasty. You know, somebody's like really being nasty with the wife, hitting her physically and all. So actually, somebody's a pure devotee, then even on that level of abuse, they're supposed to tolerate. But because we are not on that level, what will happen if we tolerate? Whatever is our present Krishna conscious status, even that we may fall down, because it's intolerable for us. And, you know, then we'll feel averse towards Krishna consciousness and averse towards everything. So because we are not on that stage, we can seek help. We can seek help from somebody if the abuse is too much and try and sort out the situation. So because we are not on that stage, but otherwise, the actual thing was, no matter what, one is supposed to tolerate, you know. Like Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 22 marketplace, but he tolerated, right? We see Narsim Mehta. He tolerated. We see Surdas, he tolerated. We see Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he tolerated. We see Mirabai, she tolerated. We see Prabhupada, he tolerated. So we see Pandavas, they tolerated. We see Draupadi, she tolerated. We see Kunti Devi, she tolerated. Oh, we can just go on. We see Ambarish Maharaj, he tolerated. He was just standing there when Durvasa Muni tried to send the demon behind him. He tolerated. We see Prahalad, he tolerated. So I can go on. So everybody you see in Srimad Bhagavatam, and they are there in the pages of Bhagavatam because they tolerated. So because we don't have that capacity of tolerating, that's why we are not in the page of Bhagavatam. But that is our ideal, right? So again, as I put it again, because we are not on that level, and even if we try to tolerate, we may become averse to Krishna consciousness, because that may disturb our spiritual life. So better to try to get a solution and tolerate only that much, as much as possible. So let's see, if your capacity to tolerate is 45%, try to increasing it a little bit day by day and make it a little more and a little more. Don't try to go at a time 100%. You may just, you know, I mean, you just blast, or, you know, you may not be able to tolerate anymore, and you'll be like, oh, forget about it. So it's like, it's up to our level and situation. In kids, don't try to raise Krishna consciousness. You just follow Krishna consciousness and they'll follow. Because kids, they don't listen what we say. They just see what we do. They are like CCTV cameras. They're simply looking at what we are doing. So what we are saying, they don't hear. What we are doing, they are seeing and hearing also. So if we personally, are doing well and following all the rules and regulation and chanting and doing everything properly and doing our duties as a mother and a wife properly, then that is very big inspiration for the kids, and they will take it up. And of course, there are so many other small tips. It's a big subject in itself, how you can very playfully induce Krishna consciousness into them by bhajans, stories, offering prasadam and feeding them. So they'll be taking prasad, they'll be hearing about Krishna, they'll see the atmosphere in the house. So you can add Krishna, like we add spice in our sabji to make it tasty. Just add Krishna. Whatever you are doing, just add Krishna. Have Krishna pictures at your house, have Krishna wallpapers, talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna, take them to Krishna temples. So like that, there are so many things that you can do, and that will make your children favorable. But most importantly is that you do your duties as mother very well, then they feel motivated. If you ignore them, then they're put off by Krishna consciousness. Okay, I said that in difficult situations, it's maybe that Krishna wants us to learn something. And how do we understand what Krishna wants us to learn? We may not understand what Krishna wants us to learn. We need to have faith. We need to have faith. And we can pray to Krishna that, Krishna, this is a situation going on in my life. If you please desire, or with your permission, if it's possible, if you so desire. Like Prabhupada said to use this word, that whenever you ask Krishna something, then you say, Krishna, if you so desire. So if you so desire, my Lord, please remove this problem from my life. Because I'm not able to tolerate it, and because of that, my Krishna consciousness is disturbed. And if you think that, this problem is good for me, at least please give me an understanding to understand, what is this situation and what I can learn from him. So we just pray to Krishna, because sometimes we are not even that level to understand. Because sometimes, after a long time, we will understand how that particular incident was helpful in our life. So it's not that, you get immediate answers, because Krishna is very complicated. You need to have faith in him. If we see Krishna in the Mahabharata, Krishna never protected the sons, of his own mother, Devaki. All the sons were killed, right? But he protected the sons of Kunti Devi. He promised, I will make sure that the number 5 doesn't go less, And he made sure. He did all sorts of things, and Karna got killed and the 5 remained. But he never protected the sons of Draupadi. But Draupadi was a pure devotee of Krishna. So like that, it's very difficult to understand. Like, that is what we were talking about, what Brahma says. Oh, it's difficult to understand you, Krishna. So yeah, it's difficult to understand Krishna. What he wants, when, what is his plan? Is very complex planning Krishna does in our life. But in this kind of situations, when you are feeling low and you can't understand Krishna's plan, you should take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, take shelter of some Vaishnavas, share with them your problem. Sometimes when we see our problem, we see it on a different level. When the other senior devotees, they see our problem, they'll see with the aerial view, they'll have the bird's view. They may give us a better understanding of it. So we take shelter of chanting, we take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, we take shelter of devotees, we take shelter of senior Vaishnavas, and get some counseling from them, because sometimes it is difficult for us to understand. That is why you see, when it is about counseling others, we do a great job, because it's not our problem. But when it's our problem, we need counseling from others, right? Because we are inside the problem. So we can't have a proper view of it. right? But when you see, I hold this kartal, you know, very close to my eyes, I can't see anything. If it's far, I can understand, oh, it has a red color. When we are in the problem, we are inside the problem. So it becomes very difficult for us to understand why this is happening. But somebody who is neutral, far away, he's looking at us, he can exactly tell us, are we going wrong? Is the other person going wrong? What is happening? That is why, you know, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have this beautiful community called ISKCON, a big family where you can take shelter of each other, of devotees, take help from them. I just hope that this answer helps you, Prabhu. How to handle karma? Or how to handle the results of karma in tough times? There are lots of questions about karma, karma, karma. I've given a class of decoding karma. Maybe the devotees here and this forum can watch it, where I spoke about tolerating and about, you know, it is the same answer. Difficult situations are going to come in your life, but we take shelter of devotees. We take shelter of devotees. We have to be, okay, let me tell you one story and then I'll finish it here. There was one story which was pending for my decoding karma class, and I've got many mails of devotees asking me that story, so I'll complete it here. Okay, I was telling a story of one man who was living next to the ocean. Now, sometimes there are lots of storms, you know, and the water comes off here and there, so nobody wanted to work in his farm. He had a small farm which was next to the water body. So finally, one fine day, he hired an employee, and that employee was ready to work, but he said, I have a condition. He said, I don't work on the day of the storm. Other days I will work, but on those days I won't work. So now this man thought, that's all right. At least for other days I got somebody to work. Otherwise nobody wants to work on my farmhouse. So he accepted him. So he was working very nicely. Everything was going very well. One day it started raining heavily. There was storm and lots of, you know, water here and there. So in the middle of the night, so this man got up and he ran to the servant quarter and he was banging the door. Get up, get up, get up. It's raining. We have to protect our horses, protect our cows. We have to tie our this. So the man from inside said, sir, I already told you I won't work when it is raining. I'm sorry, I'm going for sleep. So then this man was like, unnecessary, I hired him. See, he's not even helping me now. How will I manage? So he ran to the horse shed. And to his surprise, he sees everything is done so well. Nothing needs to be done. There is already preparation made for the upcoming storm. Then he runs to the cow shed. He sees all preparations are made there. Then he goes to the warehouse, the storehouse, the grain house. Everywhere the preparations are made in such a way that he doesn't have to do anything. So then he also goes and sleeps. Then he understands, acha, what this employee was trying to tell me when he said that I will work on other days, but I will not work on the day when there is a storm. So that means when the days are good, he makes preparation for the upcoming bad days. So that is what a devotee also does. When a situation is nice, when a situation is good in our life, then we practice Krishna consciousness very strongly, very sincerely. We don't be lazy. We work on our swabhava. We try to do as much as prayer, japa, hearing, everything possible. So then what will happen when a bad situation arises in our life? Because we have done a lot of remembering of Krishna and, you know, lot of austerities. Now during the bad time, it will give us lot of energy. Now it will give us a lot of energy because we did it. So now the remembrance of Krishna will come easily. Because you have remembered Krishna in the good times, now when the bad time comes, you will not be disconnected from Krishna because you made it as a habit. Right? So one has to practice. So one has to keep practicing. So when we keep practicing, then even when the storm comes in our life, we'll be prepared to face it. See, it's not only about you or me. All of us face problems in our life every single day. Just the flavor is different. Like the ice cream has a flavor. You have a strawberry, I like a vanilla. Everybody has a problem. Sometimes we think maybe this person is happy, that person is happy, the grass is greener on the other side, but it's not true. Everybody has some or the other problem. Our problem may be a little different variety. Their problem may be a different variety. So as long as we are there in this material world, the problem is going to be there. So whenever there are some little gaps where we get a little favorable time, we should equip ourselves. See, the problem is our life is like that of a bird. You know, the bird is on the branch of a tree. What does the bird do? Let's say you are the bird is sitting on a branch of a tree, and now a woodcutter comes and cuts the branch. What will the bird do? The bird will fly away. Will the bird cry? Will the bird fall down with the branch? No, the bird will fly away. So similarly, while we are in this material world is like the branch of the tree. Anytime the woodcutter will come and cut it. But while we are sitting on the branch, what are we supposed to do? Make our wings very strong so that the day the woodcutter comes to cut the branch, we are ready to fly back to Krishna, fly back to Goloka Vrindavan. So we have to make our wings strong. How do we make our wings strong? By chanting, by hearing, by taking prasadam, associating, doing seva, charity, devotional service. When we do that, every single day our wing is becoming stronger and stronger. And day the woodcutter is going to come, we will fly back. That is the difference between a materialistic person and a devotee. A materialistic person also, woodcutter is going to come and cut his branch. But what will happen with the materialistic person? He will be doomed with the branch. Alas, he will say, my branch is gone. I'm gone. He'll be doomed. But a devotee will say, no, this branch is not my permanent residence. My permanent residence is Krishna. The branch, and the devotee will fly away. See, everybody takes shelter of material things. As devotees, don't we take shelter of our material? You have a job, is it not? You're doing a job. So yeah, you take shelter of your job. You take shelter of your husband. You take shelter of things. And a materialistic person also takes shelter of his FDs, life insurance, job, home, family, society. A devotee also takes shelter of his job, home, family, money, society. But the only difference is, materialistic person's life, when all this shelter is taken away from him, he's doomed. He doesn't know what to do, where to go, he's finished. But devotee, because while staying in this world, he's developing a relationship with Krishna. So the day his material shelter goes away, no problem, he's ready to fly. This is what we can do as devotees. Make our wings strong. Take association of devotees, whatever favorable time that you get in between. Because you see, after day there is night, and after night there is day. So neither the happy times are going to stay for long, and neither the bad times. So the day doesn't stay forever, neither the night. Everything is a passing phase. So as a devotee, when the things go bad, we just think, oh, Krishna is so kind. I deserve to be punished more. But Krishna is so kind to me. He has reduced my punishment. When there are happy times, you think, oh, I don't deserve so much. Krishna is so kind. He's giving me more than what I deserve. So that is what a devotee thinks. In happy time also, he's thankful to Krishna. And even during the bad times, he's thankful for Krishna's protection. I just hope this answer helps you.
Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sab Krishna.